Okay, here it is, December 17th, and we're on the sealed book of Moses. Let me share my screen. I just want to comment about how it starts. Having been Moses caught up from the principal, I thought, I can't figure out what that means. And so I went to the Portuguese, and I copied the Portuguese into... Now I've got to pull up my other web browser. Oh yeah, here it is. And I pulled it over there. And when Moses was caught up at the beginning, which makes more sense. It's nice to have the Portuguese, and I've used a few different. That was Reverso, which I like. DeepL is another one for translating. And I don't know if you can see these well enough because the text is probably small. Google, I don't like Google Translate generally, but sometimes it's good. But all of them have a little better way of dealing with that first part there. It was a little confusing to me, the way that was shown. I don't know if that bothered anybody else.
Thank you for explaining that. It makes sense.
I translated it in Dutch as Moses was caught up by God.
Ah.
Don't know why, but maybe also
it's capitalized.
So the Portuguese yeah. have God in there?
No, but
okay.
It must have been because of the Portuguese translation. Otherwise, I would not have.
But you said beginning, didn't you, Russell? Beginning.
Oh, God is the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, so I was thinking the same Alpha Omega. Maybe it's has to do with that.
Yeah, maybe this principle relates to that very thing, God. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And also, you have also the Spanish, huh? You could also try, but Portuguese is all better,
that's
of
true.
Course.
And it's sometimes nice to look at the Spanish.
Yeah.
Where is my...
Hey, Michael.
Takes me a minute to get the Spanish oriented. Hang on. One thing nice about the Spanish is it fits on the page better. So, yeah, I don't know if that, but if I copy that and translate that to English.
I just translated it in from Portuguese in Dutch in DeepL, which is also a good translation program.
Yeah, DeepL.
And it says, yeah, when Moses.
Yeah, beginning.
Yeah, also beginning. It trans principio is translated as begin.
Yeah.
At beginning.
I could use DeepL as also. Oops.
And this one says, when Moses was raptured to the beginning with a to be.
Yeah, I thought raptured is interesting. Oh, goodness, what happened here? Yeah, I saw one of the translations brought in rapture. But anyway, I guess we... Maybe I'm sidetracked too far. It's up to you guys. What?
Well, he was caught up to get some knowledge.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense in English to say having been Moses caught up.
No.
And I talked to Mauricio about the correcting some English parts, and he says that Actually, Melbeth was working on it. I thought we were going to have something by November, but I haven't seen anything yet. So, Mike, would you like to read that first little section in the verse 1?
Yeah. Having been Moses cut up from the beginning, from the principle, saw the angel Ahiah become miserable and proposed to himself that all humanity would also be miserable just as he. And with that began to lie and deceive the first parents of mankind. Eve and Adam succumb under the influence of this evil being that was expelled of heaven, from heaven. Adam received the priesthood of the Son of God, and with him the law of the priesthood and the promise about his righteous seed after him. Abel fulfills the requirements required by law for how much Cain is induced for priestly tricks, by priestly tricks, and commences false worship among his fellow men. Abel becomes the first prophet to seal with blood his work on earth. Seth is born and spreads the gospel and the priesthood through his offspring. Verse 1. It so happened, or I guess it could be, and it came to pass.
Yeah.
It so happened that Moses was caught up on a mountain extremely high and came to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem and obtained knowledge of all things that were from the beginning, began to record what he saw and heard in the sealed book that was found by Hilkiah, together with the book of the law in the days of Josiah, king of Judah, which Lehi brought into this land beyond the sea in order to preserve its record for future generations of priests of the holy order of the Son of God in the final part of the fullness of times. Keep going, or do we
No,
want to?
actually, some people have explained that when they're caught up to this exceeding high mountain, they're actually caught up to a room above the earth in a kind of a transparent room where they can look out over the earth. It may not actually be on earthly soil. Any other comments on that first verse?
Well, I guess the reason that Lehi was supposed to bring it over was so that it would be preserved for our day.
Right.
I mean, they had it, but it was also kept there. I mean, I guess it became a lost book again. If he, on his way out of town, stopped by the cave and took it with him, I don't know if they had multiple copies of it. He probably had the original version and brought with him.
I think so. I think the brass plates were the original version, and this sealed Book of Moses was also an original version. And I think that's why around 600 BC, the Bible scholars, the current book that we have for the Old Testament was put together about that time. And I think it's because they lost the originals and they had to piece together the Old Testament that we have now. Yeah, go ahead and read verse 2.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that I love your vision of that people would be in orbit around the Earth with a big screen looking upon the Earth, maybe with that you could like flash back into time and forward, that we would be more aware that what it says here to begin to record all things from the beginning that we because of huge generation and the whole salvation with very specific overall view of Moses in much new perception much overall view, like what you said, maybe not on a mountain even, but even that heavenly perspective, you know, that eternal perspective. I love that on this first thing, also by the whole thing of Lehi as a scribe, a tribe of scribes, you know, that we would get more reverence of writing and recording, or in a broader sense, or editing your photos or all the information and data you have or now in the future would have, you know, and to prioritize that's what I love with the with you sketched the that you're in the Star Trek kind of distance mode, you know, to have some that you walk backwards a few meters, you know, to appreciate the view.
Thank
So
you.
next verse.
Okay. Thank you very
Well,
much.
Lehi's name is a derivative of Elia or Elia or whatever, which means by whom God restores. So he knew way back then that through him and the records that he kept, and you know, here on the on this continent, on the American continent, that much restoration would occur. I'll go on. Verse 2. It was then that Moses passed to be in a great universal meeting in which Ahia, the angel whose name means brother of Jehovah, greater leader who covered in his expansion the class of anointed cherubim, chief commander of the flaming stones until the day he was deposed from his office and the supervision of heavenly visits to the sons of man, was delivered to the angel Gabriel, who commanded them, for by the too much generations of Israel, when they were walking by the circuits of the heavens, which chariots of fire visited the prophet of God, prophets of God, full of wisdom and proceeding from the highest caste of the order of the stars, Dalva, had full access to Mount Zion until the day he overturned the old covenant and vehemently accused the great Jehovah of usurping the rights of free will in all beings created by him in the vast expanse of the universe, for how much he himself came seeking to destroy free will of mankind, of man from the beginning.
Yeah, that's
So.
very, very interesting. Now, how much power he had, and his position, his anointed position was fairly significant. He lost it all.
We're referring to Ahia, I guess, is another name for Lucifer. Lucifer is the son of the light. Ahia means brother of Jehovah. He was a great leader. Are we talking about the same person?
Yeah, I'm
Think
pretty sure.
so.
It says he was delivered to the angel Gabriel.
No, his calling, his responsibility was given to delivered to him.
Oh, so Gabriel kind of stepped into the role that Lucifer had before he fell.
Right.
Yeah, he was demoted. Yeah. I think it's interesting the last some few sentences where it was actually Ahia or Satan that was trying to destroy the free will of man, but he was accusing Jesus of doing that. Often that's kind of how it works. We accuse other people of doing what we're doing. And
Project.
so it's like goes on and on.
Yeah, that's it's called projection, right? We project onto our
Projection.
enemies the same thing that we ourselves are doing.
Yep, absolutely. And I also call it the mote beam theory. You know, you've got this beam in your eye, but you're trying to pick out the mote from someone else. It's all the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, when we get done with our recording, I want to talk about the sacrament. Remind me to do that. Okay, so move on to verse. Go ahead, Harm.
One more thing about it's got stood out for me, the chief commander of the Flaming Stones. So with the whole of the Living Stones thing, and I recently read some of the Mentina archives again, and there's also an interesting thing about 94 heated stones in like the sweat lodge, which is maybe these things were much more widespread known knowledge, you know, of the whole thing of the holiness of the of stuff, you know, and stones and rituals, how to get better understanding of these things. And so for me, that, and also with the whole chariots of fire, and the do you have you know connections, you know, that isn't enough, like what we have in worldwide problems now with Gaza or Ukraine. We all could call each other and work it out, you know. But if you don't have the right energy and holiness to support the technical possibilities, like we were not ready for the in the new Sabbath, or that you have to be prepared, that you have to be one to be able to handle all these things. But I think it's so hopeful that there's all this communication through the universe in this fire, in this verse. Isn't that great? Walking by the circuits of heaven with chariots of fire. Wow.
I have a question. It says that he had the full access to Mount Zion. What does that mean? The full access to Mount Zion till the day he overturned the old covenant. Does anyone know?
Full access to the Father, I think. It's
Okay.
one organization, like with Jesus doesn't work alone. It's you have to have a certain degree of light or
Okay.
celestial, I think. Any other comments? Ready?
I think maybe there is where the gatherings are. Because sometimes he returns to the gatherings. It's also in the sealed book.
Yeah.
I think this is where the
They have
or
their
the
meeting
room, you talk or the
and
room.
the conferences take place.
Okay, thanks.
Harm,
There's
would
a
you like to read verse 3?
I can do it.
Ooh.
Harm.
And
Go ahead.
so, because he had been full of pride and vanity, assumed an air of grandeur and came to desecrate his own wisdom by supposing in his heart that he would be accepted by God in the highest and immaculate cradle of creation, after arousing appreciation of a vast multitude of followers, first of those whom he led astray in the heavens and now on earth. And so to return to the holy mountain of meeting and to take his place among the council of the heavens, which are above the holy angels in the likeness of God, but beneath the sovereign God, the Almighty.
Lord.
Oh, yeah,
Sovereign Lord.
sovereign Lord, the Almighty, which cannot overrule the ordinance established by him in the heavens. Of that of the dominions of earth would be in subjection to his son, Ahiah. When then it even before the foundation of the world, that was given the dominions of the kingdom of mankind. And with that, he came to be in Eden, the garden of God. Okay.
But you could see why he would be full of pride and vanity. He had a pretty high and holy calling.
Yeah.
Yes, and here is a mention of the return to the holy mountain of meeting,
Yeah.
the Mount Zion, maybe.
Yeah.
My thought.
And
Which
it's
could
talked
be a
about,
room above the earth, like Russell was talking
yeah.
about, like a council type thing.
And
It talks about his son, Haya, same name as himself, he was planning to have the same kind of order of the gods as Christ and the Father, except he would replace the Father.
There's a verse in DNC 133 that talks about Mount Zion. I mean, even if you do a search of the scriptures, that word Mount Zion is given in Isaiah and other places, the Psalms. This one says, "For behold, the Lord God hath sent forth the angel crying through the midst of heaven, saying, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. For the hour of his coming is nigh, when the Lamb shall stand upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Wherefore, prepare ye for the coming of the bridegroom. Go ye out to meet him." So it almost makes it sound like it has reference to the city of Zion, or maybe the heavenly Zion descending on the earthly Zion, and they come together and they fall on one another's necks and kiss each other and embrace. You know, Mount Zion could be the heavenly city brought down to earth. I don't know. Just an interesting correlation.
Yeah, later in that same section, "And the graves of the saints shall be opened, and they shall come forth and stand on the right hand of the Lamb, when he shall stand upon Mount Zion and upon the holy city, the New Jerusalem. They shall sing the song of the Lamb day and night forever and ever."
Maybe it's that, it's just that, that it's getting together, the heaven and the earth, and that's a holy moment that the voices come together. And
well,
a different
I'm
meaning.
To...
I am a holy people, and all that the oneness of the people in us.
Well, I'm anxious to see it happen. The earth is headed down the path that Satan is designing for right now. Talk about the elites that want to control us, transhuman. It's just an interesting battlefield that's taking place.
Yeah, but it says here that it's an ordinance. It's an ordinance that the dominions of the earth would be in subjection to Ahia. It's an ordinance, even.
Yeah, because God is also God of law.
Yeah, God could not stop him from doing this, and so he made his way to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Before the foundation of the world, it's because it's called here an ordinance.
I think it has to do with the free agency thing, which is getting more abstract in these times with internet and all. So this battle for attention of your in your skull.
Yeah, I think that ordinance, reading that, but beneath the sovereign Lord, the Almighty, which cannot overrule the ordinance established by him in the heavens, of that the dominion of the earth would be in subjection to his son, Ahiah. And I think that the ordinance would imply the Savior, whoever it is. The Satan was trying to make it his son or something, but that's Jesus Christ. The ordinance would, I think, fits Jesus Christ in that case. Would that be right, do you think?
I think so. Yeah, that's opposite to pride and vanity, you know. So he would also promote himself, like with free will and true freedom, and like what we have here, the right wing politicians who even call their party the party of freedom, you know. So it's always packed as very similar, like the true thing, the real thing. You know, but he cannot be overruled, and I think that's the coming forth of that's why this church will be known in the whole world for their schools and their wisdom, because it is really the only thing which separates us from the rest. we really have to dig in. It's only for the ones who diligently seek through the mysteries of the heart. So that's not something you want to do for pleasure or entertainment. You just can't. You have to do it. It has to be an inner call, I think, which resonates with the truth already acquired within you, and which is written down here. Because this is not easy to understand.
Such a complicated sentence.
Yeah, it's quite, but it's worth it. I really think it's worth it. If you meditate upon it.
It's one sentence.
Yeah, it is a long sentence too.
Now, I don't know that, Russell, I don't know that he's talking about Ahia's son, Ahia. I think it's talking about God's son, Ahia. I think.
Yeah.
Well, this guy that goes by the name Ahia is the beginning of this chapter. It says that Ahia was his name.
Yeah. But I think he's just talking about him. I don't think he's talking about his son.
I think so too, Lisa.
Yeah. I think it's.
Because it's mentioned the angel whose name means brother of Jehovah. Ahia means brother of Jehovah. So that would mean that they have the same father or the same mother. But
the way I read this is, if we're looking at just that top of page 36, overrule the ordinance established by him in the heavens, established by God in the heavens, of that the dominions of the earth would be in subjection to his son, Ahia.
Yeah.
So God's son, Satan, when then, even before the foundations of the earth, it was given, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, that's how I read it, but
fine.
I don't know. I don't know. Did Satan ever get a body and have sons? And maybe.
No, but I think that was in his plan. But I think that's fine.
Who knows?
Valera, would you like to read verse 4?
Yes. Being that man had been created in the image of God, reflecting in itself its divine attributes, namely love, wisdom, creative potential, and justice, and had also been created according to its likeness, thus obtaining characteristics similar to the image of its creator. Coming to be an immortal creature, for how much were subject to themselves all creatures that move in heaven, on earth, and in the sea, but they had been commanded to fertilize and fill the earth and to expand the boundaries of Eden. 5. But it came to pass that Ahia, when he sought to do that which was evil before God, was cast out of the highest and immaculate cradle of the heavens, yea, from the holy mountain of God to heavenly Zion. However, he had not yet been expelled from the heavenly realms, since he periodically made himself present at the universal meetings in order to present a report of his administration concerning this world, which was under his dominion. Want me to continue?
Yeah, no. Before we get into verse 5, I want to just comment on verse 4 about how, created in the image of God, we think we're, you know, have physical bodies that are interesting, but some of the things that are in this physical body, wound in the DNA that we have, are more than just our physical makeup. There's heavenly attributes in this creation that we just don't fully comprehend, and it's an amazing.
Good point. Yeah. It's saying that the attributes are love, wisdom, creative potential, and justice. It doesn't really talk about the physical.
Yeah.
Two arms, two legs. I like that. Thank you.
And I guess that the verse 5 is talking about how in Job, when the Satan shows up to the council and says, yeah, but nobody, Job's just doing things because you protect him. And then we know the rest of the story of Job.
But the testing is so interesting, the whole testing thing, because it strips all of it, you know, because we also start people. We also tend to view people are rich which have possession, but first of all, children, you know? So which is the highest worth? And I think it's a lot of the scriptures are about prioritizing and where is your heart, you know? So it's interesting what you say here with love, wisdom, and just life itself, you know, beyond our own capacity and limited perspective of our senses. And it's very important to always keep your eyes on that ball of life in a broader sense, I think. So thank you again.
I have to leave, but maybe I see you later. But
okay, great. You touched on the aspect of how they challenged Job and by taking away some things, and the question becomes, you know, how are you blessed? I mean, if you have these taken away, then God must be cursing you and so forth. That's what his friends was kept telling him. This is a sidetrack, and I hope I don't detract, but I just saw this morning an email that talked about President Russell M. Nelson's talk, where he talked about well, I'll just share the screen here. He talked about his talk. As I became a full tithe payer, the windows of heaven begin to open for me. I attribute several subsequent professional opportunities to our faithful payment of tithings. Then there's a footnote 20. And that wasn't in the talk originally, but apparently it was added later. And footnote 20 says, this is not to imply a cause and effect relationship. Some who never pay tithing attain professional opportunities, while some who pay tithing do not. The promise is that the windows of heaven will be open to the tithe bearer. The nature of the blessing will vary. And so it's just an interesting side note on whether or not we're blessed for doing these things or not.
Yeah, it's the reason why you do good things. I read a book about that one time, and it's interesting. I asked a good friend this week also, why do you think there are commandments, you know, in general, not even with religious background? But he says, I'm scared for punishment, you know, and this also for me was preparatory for the lesson this night with the fear of God, the idea of fear of God, you know. Is it reverence, or should you really be scared shitless, like to do something you need to do, you know? And I thought Job, also when we were in the, I'm sorry if I'm going too long, but it was also about Job in our local ward, and they're talking about all the riches again, but they totally ignore what Pratt did, yeah, with the Pleiades, and that you really know your planets and your cycles, and it's not only from I need a God and I need to have a group of people to feel safe, you know, which a lot of times is said if you work in groups, that it's really about the individual challenge we all need and to overcome. So that's why I love Job so much. So thanks again.
Okay. So Lisa, are we on verse 5? You want to read that?
I read 5 as well. Did you read 5 as well?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Or we can just talk about it if we want to. I like how it talks about the highest and immaculate cradle of the heavens, and it says from the holy mountain of God to heavenly Zion. So I wonder if they're kind of like two different places, but it's all the cradle of heaven. So maybe like what Michael said, it could be where Zion is, and it could also be the heavenly council. I don't know. Something to think about.
I found a better scripture than DNC 133, and actually it was referenced in footnote 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse, I'm just going to read 22 and 23.
Okay.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So that was the one that was sticking out in my head. I couldn't remember where it was found, though. Uh-huh. Coming to the city of the living God, right? Mount Zion. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
I think it's interesting that it talks about the blood of sprinkling. Maybe that's where the Catholics get sprinkling for baptism.
Yeah, maybe. Blood of sprinkling.
But if the Ark of the Covenant, they would go in, the priest would go in and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice.
Right.
Was it on the west side? I'm not sure if that was left or right, but they would sprinkle it on one side. And it had a purpose. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember off the top of my head, but that just stood out when we talked about sprinkling.
Yeah.
I think it's about the omnipotence of God, the sprinkling and the spreading and the naming of all the how do you say the sacred directions, the seven sacred directions, so north, east, south, up, down, and sacred center. It has to do with the omnipotence. And also what I like with five is that he could periodically made himself present, you know, like appear.
And what did he do to not be invited back? Like it says, since periodically he made himself present at the universal meeting in order to present a report. But it sounds like it said he had not yet been expelled. So I'm wondering if he's expelled now. I was thinking about that.
Because like, it's still when it was still under his dominion, when it was,
yeah.
And God get like with Job, he gives the devil his possibility to tempt people, and that's still in effect, I think, in a way, you know. Yeah. Of course. So here also that he had that power to make himself present, that also has to do with some still effective abilities he has been given to do his job in what he has to do. You know, but we don't have to listen to him. That's the whole thing, that we have to act and not only ponder it, and to get to know the sweetness of listening to the promptings, because faith precedes the miracles. First, you have to have faith to act, and then you can get the knowledge, because you did it, and then you know it happened. So it's interesting idea, the whole cradle of heaven, and that is like it's so physical. It fascinates me that it's so physical, everything in the sealed book.
Okay, Lisi, do I read the next verse?
Yeah, verse 6. Therefore, it was at the beginning of human history on earth that after falling from his high position in the heavens, he became wretched before the children of God, and thereby proposed himself in subjecting all humanity to being unable to fully enjoy its free will, and thus condemn them to the same misery and decay that had been condemned.
Read the next verse too.
So that old serpent went on to deceive his brethren who lived with him in the heavens, and so soon became an opponent to God's plan for this world. It happened then that he went on to deceive the first human couple still in Eden, the paradise of God, coming to become the father of every lie, and so he was called devil.
Isn't that interesting? The whole thing, how long it's still it is going on. It's suggested here that there's a whole lot of things going on while Adam and Eve are still there. So I from first time I'm thinking the whole long age thing, you know.
Sorry?
That they had this much more time, you know, as an eternal creature, as that calling to be the first one of all men. And isn't that interesting? It happened then that he went to deceive. So before, there's a whole history before.
Yeah.
Of this Lucifer Ahia and the whole thing of free will and counsel and power and mercy.
Yeah. Okay. Let me read verse 8. It was then after Adam and Eve had succumbed to the wiles of the devil that God proceeded to curse them. For before that, they lived on a higher level on the spiritual plane. Though they were made of the dust of the earth, in Eden they were clothed with spirit and therefore immortal. But as soon as they sinned, God clothed them with mortal skin. Therefore, were cursed to suffer in inclemencies of time, pain, sweat, and all sorts of evils that are subject to mortal flesh. And verse 9, however, the Father of tender mercies provided a means of redemption by which the children of Adam could return to their initial glory and again have full communion with God as they had in the beginning. This providence being the very priesthood of God, that is in accordance with the order of his Son, being therefore called at the beginning of all times the priesthood of the Son of God. While I was reading verse 8, I was thinking about Eve and you know, both Adam and Eve and what they would have to go through. They were living in this state, which was, they didn't have hardly any problems and a wonderful state of a being. And then have to all of a sudden transition into a time of pain and sweat and sorts of evils, mortal flesh, diseases, everything else that they just didn't have before. And I feel sorry for poor Eve. She's also now going to give childbirth, and it's an interesting process. I don't know if we honor them enough for all that they went through.
Exactly. You know what is also funny here at verse 9, at the beginning of all times, the priesthood and the free agency, which actually starts then, you know, with Adam and Eve, with the sinning. And it's also what we talked about in the beginning, the principle, you know, the beginning. So the oneness of it all, you know, and that we would have hope that it would be full communion again.
Right.
As they had in the beginning. You know, so the end in the beginning. And the beginning in the end. Because
it talks about the spiritual plane too, that was the Garden of Eden. So it wasn't necessarily on earth, or if it was on earth, it was on a different plane or a different dimension. The Garden of Eden was. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, yes.
And the mortal skin also
is
very interesting face. Also interesting, and don't know if you know the term skingularity, that we would have a body with, you know, like the multicolored robe of Joseph, you know? That you would have all these attributes, you know, which we cannot touch yet. But it's interesting what you said, Lisa, with that it would be, it could even be on a different place, you know, that it would start with the putting on the skin. Very interesting. And all sweat and pain, you know, to be happy with pain, that you could endure the pain, that you know, otherwise there wouldn't be pain. But he knows we can endure if we have some kind of hope, And sometimes patriotism are strange motivations.
Yeah, yes. Michael, I think we'll finish up on verse 10.
Okay. Therefore, the gospel became the way for all to return to God. The scriptures of the holy prophets are the iron rod extended along this trajectory that intertwine through a dense mist of darkness. Being the priesthood is the safe guide which lamp to light the way in the dark in the darkest night and keep us on the right course until we reach the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, beyond the thresholds of this mortal existence, and whose fruits correspond to the full happiness of attaining the reward of eternal life. Okay, so that's hearkening back to the vision that Lehi had as well, of the iron rod, or the rod of iron that is the word of God, or the, I guess, the scriptures of the holy prophets going through that dense mist of darkness. And the priesthood is the safe guide, which I guess it means, which acts as a lamp to light the way in the darkest of night and keep us on the right course.
That's not the normally the way we think of priesthood.
Yeah.
Also interesting, the tree of life as priesthood, as with I read about the rod of iron and the symbolism of the and the iron, the how it stands through time, and the liveness of the tree, so the wood. Actually, the same word they use for the wood of Ephraim in Ezekiel 37 and the wood of Ephraim in the wood of Judah is the same word used for the cross in the New Testament. I believe Greek is, I forgot, sorry.
Etz, Etz or something like that.
Sorry?
Etz.
Yeah, I believe you're right. And that we could see this as in the whole context of things, the full happiness, you know, of opposition. You have hardship also with Job, then and eventually that's good to do this as last verse, also the full happiness, you know, the reward again, that we would strive for something, you know, strive for the highest blessings that Paul says in the New Testament. The striving that we could and we could attain it and work it, you know, like with first you have the faith, like with water, and then when it grows it becomes a tree, and then you need more people to work the ground surrounding it. It says in I think it is Jacob 5 in the Book of Mormon, so we need, if you really want to give it a chance that things grow, you need people. You need a different kind of faith. And that's why we need the full happiness, you know, to go the other step instead of being content with our mortal vision.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I guess it's obvious, but I never think of it this way. Of keeping on the right course until we reach the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God beyond the thresholds of this mortal existence. And so the tree of life is not to be found here, but if we're on the path here, we get there beyond this mortal existence.
And that's the eternal life. That's the promise.
Yes.
And this probably also, I think, about the three Nephites now who wanted to stay on the earth as long as it's here to get people into the kingdom, that would be the highest, you know? And the other three who wanted to be as fast as possible with Jesus after their life. 72 years, and then be with him. I really love the project, you know, the program Israel, and stay here till you get the whole thing. That there would be an end also, you know. That's also so interesting with Moses, that's the first time he gets to see all things. He's the first, maybe Enoch, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to stop the recording at this.